Would you care for another Schnitzelgruben?
15 is my limit on Schnitzelgruben.
Oh, if you have any problems, dial information. Thank you for calling.
He's going to be very popular.
Mother of God.
Give my creation life!
Hello and welcome to the Pure Life Podcast, your weekly dose for all things travel, food, leisure, and fun. We are your hosts. I'm Don Meyer.
I'm Ari Meyer.
And welcome to this episode on our continuing discussions on Israel.
Yes, and we're going to highlight Masada and...
And we're also going to talk about the Dead Sea.
Yes.
So we were fortunate, as we discussed in previous podcasts, to spend some time in Israel. And I've traveled there for business for a number of years and was unable to really get a chance to see anything. I mean, just go there for business and
back-to-back meetings and then just go... It's time to go home.
Yeah, exactly. I go to the office, to the hotel, and then back to the airport. And that was about it. So this time around, we got a chance to bring the family out and really explore a lot.
So and we rented a car?
Yes, we stayed for a couple of weeks, and we rented a car. And people might think, ooh, it's a foreign country, renting a car. It's going to be pretty, I don't know, challenging. It's going to be kind of tough, blah, 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 blah.
How do you get yourself around? Is it easy? Is it hard?
Yeah, and this is Israel. I mean, it's not America. It's Hebrew and in Arabic.
The signs and...
Oddly enough, all the street signs are in English, too.
Right.
The Hebrew is the most prominent. It's the top one. Then there's Arabic. And then there's English signs underneath it. And
right, everywhere.
Everywhere you went, there was English signs. So that coupled with, you know, Google Maps...
Yes.
You can't get lost.
That was perfect.
And because, I guess, you know, it's Western European, so they follow some of the Western Europeans, like... driving conditions and things of that. Very comfortable. And they're driving on the left-hand side of the car on the right-hand side of the road. So for an American, it's very easy to accommodate. It's just like driving back at home.
Very true.
Difference is a little bit more crowded, a little less
sane. In Tel Aviv.
Yeah, a little less sane with respect to the driving habits. But everything was in English, so it was great to be able to get around.
And getting on and off of... highways, just everything in general was pretty...
It was pretty easy.
Straightforward.
Yeah, even driving back and forth to the office was pretty easy. So on one of the weekends we were there, we decided to take a trip out to
Masada
and to the Dead Sea. And since they're so close to each other, we thought we'd be able to conquer that in one day.
Right.
And ultimately you can. And from our perspective, we were staying in Tel Aviv and we got on the freeways and were able to point us in the right direction via the help of the signs that were, you know, in Tel Aviv itself and with Google Maps.
Right.
And we got on the freeway after eating breakfast at our place. I think
we had a laced up because we had a flat tire.
Yeah, we the previous night we had a one of our tires go flat.
It was pretty eventful.
Was unrepairable, so we had to get it replaced. And that was a fun thing to try and explain to somebody what I needed when I don't speak Hebrew and he didn't speak English. But somehow we figured it out and we ended up with a new tire.
And it was Friday, so it's technically
This was Friday, right? And the next day was Saturday. So
right.
We got it changed on a Saturday, which is like Sunday here.
Okay.
So imagine there weren't a whole lot of places that were open. And
exactly.
The place that was open was probably pretty happy to see a happy, dumb American come up and say, hey, I need a tire. And I think that made his day and probably made his sale. Nonetheless, after a little minor setback.
So we had an interesting start.
Yeah, it started off a little challenging. Mm-hmm. But after a little setback, we finally got ourselves on the road. And we bolted out of Tel Aviv and took about 2.5 hours to get over towards Masada.
That's about right.
So one of the interesting things about, you know, once we get past Tel Aviv and get past the airport, it starts to look a little bit like California in some respects because it's brown hills and it's kind of just rolling hills, Northern California-esque looking, deserty. And then all of a sudden we see these signs and these strange things out on the hills there. Could you describe kind of what those were?
So instead of you see deer crossing signs in the United States or our part of America that we live in, we see camel crossing signs. And then I thought that was very
interesting.
Dorothy,
we're not in Kansas anymore.
We are in Israel. We are in the Middle East.
And you're looking at the hillsides as you're driving past, and there's just, I don't know what you call them, gaggles, groups, just a bunch of camels just kind of hanging out.
Yeah, there's like, oh, there are camels. First time we saw them, we were so excited.
It was pretty cool.
And the kids were excited, like, oh my God, camels.
You're seeing camels. You're really in the Middle East. You're really in the desert area. It was really kind of cool.
That was really neat.
We're cruising out and we're seeing this stuff. And all of a sudden the scenery changes from these kind of nice, gentle rolling hills to these dramatic kind of mountainscapes.
Oh, the two-lane roads.
And then we followed a major freeway out, and it's pretty straightforward. We can give you the exact routes in the pod or on our blogs. But we followed the route out, and the route that I chose specifically took us right to Masada. In fact, the road ended at Masada. So we got off the freeway.
So we went to the western side.
Correct, yes.
Right. We off entered the freeway. From the western side.
So the road becomes this little two-lane thing, as we were talking about. We got over this ridge. There's the Dead Sea. And then, boom, the road ends right at the western entrance for Masada.
The parking lot.
Right. It goes right to the parking lot. There's a little gate right there. There's a guard. You pay, the parking fee and the park entrance fee. They give you a map. It was really cool, too, because there's a restroom right there. There's a little snack shop right there. Remember?
You can buy ice cream, chips, water.
Water.
Oh, my God. It was such a hot day. So yes. After the whole hiking coming down from the Masada site.
It was good to have a place to get some cold water, cold drinks, and in a beer.
As a matter of fact, I think you did, didn't you?
But what's also really cool about the west side versus the eastern side, which is where all the tourist bus goes, the ramp, the Roman ramp, is right there on the west side.
And just by luck, right?
Well, it wasn't, I guess it's by
I mean,
I didn't plan it to do that, but I knew that this was one of the routes to get there. So if you know a little history about Masada, Masada used to be this fortress. It was built by Herod way, way, way back in like 30 AD, excuse me. Now, during the Roman persecution of the Jewish people to try and convert them to Christianity, a group of about 1,000 Jews tried to escape from the Roman persecution, if you will, and they barricaded themselves in this fortress. The Romans wanted nothing to do with that, so they decided that they were going to go after these group of roughly about 1,000 Jewish people, men, women, children, all barricaded themselves up in this temple or this fortress. And the fortress had everything. It had baths, had water, had food, had garrisons of legions of stuff that was there that the Romans were just storing there, so the Jewish people could live there forever if they needed to. Mm-hmm. The Romans, again, didn't want that, so very difficult to get themselves up on the top of this plateau. So they ended up building a ramp, and they used the ramp to be able to bring a battering ram and break the doors down and blah, 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 blah. Tragic. The ending result of the Roman conquest of this was what had happened to the Jewish people in their area.
They just killing their wives and children before taking their own lives because they don't want to be... They didn't want to be captured by Romans.
Yeah, they didn't want to be captured. They didn't want to be converted. And so these people became martyrs. Again, legend has it that close to 1,000 people took their own lives instead of having the Romans come and persecute them.
But so, the place was just amazing, wasn't it? Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, after all that, the place just kind of was left alone. And people come and go out of there. People built churches and stuff out there. The ruins are still there today. And it is quite spectacular.
There was the Hanging Palace, where the upper level had bedrooms, and then there was a balcony with the view of the Dead Sea, remember?
Right, right, right.
It was just magnificent view.
It's incredible. So there's a couple of ways that you can get up there. The first way, like what we did, is if you come on the west entrance, you can walk.
You walk a lot, by the way. That's a hike.
It is not for the faint of heart, and especially when we were there in the early summer period, it was hot. They say the park opens up at sunrise, and that's usually a good time to take that hike up there when it's not so hot.
We had to take there was hardly any shade.
No,
remember?
There was no shade on the west
you
side.
You need a hat, sunglasses, lots of sunscreen.
And water.
And don't forget your water.
Water, 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 water. So the path up there is kind of a windy path. There's stairs and stuff like that. I got really, really overheated.
Overheated,
and
that's right.
I had to take a break.
Stop.
About midway up there. But, do that. Take as many breaks as you need to. There's no rush to get up there because it's hot. you're in a really warm part of the world.
Yeah, so take your time if you go there around that time of the summertime.
Yep. If you're not up for the hike, I suggest you go around to the eastern side, which is where all the tour buses pull up.
And the cable car, over there, right? Which exactly. We didn't get to do.
There is a path as well. They call it the snake path. Or there's the cable mm-hmm. cars, which then you can pay to head up there. And it's a little bit more convenient, if you will.
Right.
But once you get up to the top, oh my goodness.
The view in... You walk a lot. Yep. But it's worth the walk.
Oh my Lord.
And oh, it's just everything that you get to see over there... There are restrooms up there, by
yes,
the way.
Thank goodness.
So they're more than one, two or three, right?
I think there's
they're
two,
kind of further apart.
Yeah,
but
on either ends of the Masada itself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of the excavation that's going on over there is uncovering mosaics and pottery and other
that
things
very
that,
interesting.
That show how not only the Romans were using the palace, but how the Jews had lived there while the Romans were trying mm-hmm. to persecute them.
The bathhouse.
Bathhouse was really quite amazing. Even the Byzantine temple, the synagogue up there was with all those
synagogue,
columns.
Yes.
Really
yes.
quite interesting. And they're trying their best to preserve it all.
The pillars and...
Yeah, and if you go to
the
northern
structure.
Point, where the hanging area is, that's where Herod's palace was. And he'd built this elaborate
right.
palace. They've got models to kind of show you what it did look like back in its heyday.
The little miniature.
Yeah, the little miniature things, yeah. And so there's tons of things to see, a lot to learn, and really take your time. Interestingly enough... You know, there are water fountains, if you will, that are up there as well to keep you hydrated and keep you from, you know, overheating and losing.
And that water is safe.
The water was safe to drink. And there's spots, you know, in various strategic places.
Oh, there are some shaded, like a rest kind
yes.
of sitting area as well.
There are some sitting areas so that you can take some breaks. And to Ari's point, they're shaded.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty to look at and plenty to walk around in.
But to get up there, if you go from the west side, that's quite a hike. So
it's a hike up.
Maybe umbrella or some sunshade.
Yeah, definitely a hat.
That will be, yeah.
Definitely a hat.
We didn't have hats,
we did not. No, I think we did have hats.
We did, okay.
Yeah, I think we were wearing hats, and it was very warm. So, you know, one of the things that they recommend is do the dawn hike, if you will, if you're going to hike it. That way it's not so hot.
Well, I
and
heard
then you
if
can
you
see.
Can do it, because they open,
yes. open at sunrise.
The sunrise, right? Yep. Yeah.
And then you can see the sun coming up over the Red Sea, looking up over the Dead Sea, pardon me,
mm-hmm.
and coming up over the hills of Jordan that are right to your east there. So I hear it's quite spectacular, but with the kids and trying to get them up that early and get on the road with a flat tire, it just wasn't in the cards
for us. Didn't work
for us,
but if you can, that would be great. And then I also read about, which we didn't get to see, but the sound in the light show.
Yes.
It happens between March through October. Please check, you know, the latest information on the website before you go, because these things can change. But I think Tuesdays and Thursdays at 9 p.m.
Right.
was the information that I had when we went.
There's a theater that's on the western side, and it's an amphitheater, so there's seats there, and when it gets dark out, there's a light show and a music show, and they light it up, and they talk about the siege of Masada, and I hear it's quite spectacular.
So if you can spend a day, right, longer than we could, because like I said, we had a rough start.
And kids and all,
then it's well worth it.
Absolutely.
To spend longer there.
And the drive in was incredible. Again, once you get past the rolling hills and you see kind of the dramatic landscape.
You see this Dead Sea.
Ugh, it is unbelievable.
It's like, wow, that's Dead Sea.
And then all of a sudden you start going down below sea level, and you're thinking, wait a minute, we're still on land and we're going below sea level? How is that even possible?
I know.
But, you know, you do. So we spent a good couple hours touring all over Masada. We grabbed grabbed as much...
as we could.
Hotness and heat and water and stuff and rehydrated ourselves and got ourselves back down. We climbed ourselves back down on the western side.
By the way. But that's okay. It's not important.
I thought that... did I have a Coke? I might have had a Coke.
So. I remember having ice cream and... tons of drink.
Yes, yeah. So we ended up going back down to the little cafeteria on the western side, right by the parking lot. We sat there, cooled off for a little bit.
Yes.
Got some ice cream, got some cold drinks, and plotted our course to head down to the Dead Sea. And where did we go again in the Dead Sea? What was the name of that place?
Ain Bokeh.
Ain Bokeh. Well,
and that was rated really high on the, you know, the must visit beaches. And then one of your buddies from Israel
recommended it.
They recommended, oh, if you're going there, just go to this beach. And it was worth it.
Oh my gosh.
What were around on that particular beach?
Yeah, there's like tons of resorts and hotels and casinos. Shopping and casinos and all sorts of stuff.
Palm trees.
Yeah, and it's kind of cool because it was only about an hour, maybe an hour and 15 out of Masada. So it's right in the general area. And, you know, Israel's not necessarily
not big.
Too big. It's mm-hmm. it's kind of more long than it is wide.
Right.
And so driving from Tel Aviv from the, you know, as far west as you could to the Dead Sea, as far east as you could, wasn't too bad at all.
Yeah,
and so we hit Masada, we hit the Dead Sea, we went down to Ayin Bokeh, and we wanted to go, you know, dipping our toes into the Dead Sea. We'd heard so much about it.
Oh my God, that was an experience, right?
Oh, Lord.
It's just effortless. You just float.
Before we get there, we ended up parking across from some
casino,
something like that.
Well, we just walked a little
in the
short
sand.
Distance.
Yeah, in the sand. We just parked where everyone else was, mm-hmm. kind of off on the sand, off the side of the road,
right.
And ended up walking to this public beach area.
Right.
And the public beach area was not quite a beach in the sense that it's like sand and stuff like that. Remember, this
it
is...
It had nice shower,
and
remember?
Great showers.
And then a great changing room.
Yep.
And then, unfortunately, we got there kind of late in the day because we hit Masada prior
to
heading to Dead Sea. So just a couple things to, I think, will be kind of like not important but useful to know is that you can rent chairs.
Yes.
You have to pay for them, but they close at, was it 5?
I think it was around 5, maybe 5:30, something like that.
So you want to time it.
Yeah, and you don't want to get there too late because then you really can't enjoy yourself. However, again, the summertime, you're at the lowest point on Earth.
It's hot.
It is super hot. It's oven hot. you feel like you're walking into a bakery. It is that hot.
Yeah, so don't get sunburned.
So I mean, just be cognizant of that and find some good shade and bring plenty of liquids with you. And you would think that, you know,
and there was not the cafeteria, but kiosk.
Little kiosk. There's where I bought beer.
That's where
I got the beer.
Okay.
So I had a good cold beer and lots of cold drinks and ice creams and stuff like that too.
Jeez.
And you can also buy
the Dead Sea mud.
Yeah.
Like a powder or the liquid thing that you just, we saw a lot of people just smother the mud. Paste,
so
right?
you know about that, right?
Yes.
So why don't you explain a little bit about what the whole point of that is and what it's supposed to do for you?
That is the mineral from the Dead Sea, supposed to be good for your skin. So you put them on your body, then you just kind of, some people are just sunbathing, right?
Yeah.
I don't know how they did it, it was so hot, but they just lie down and then
let the minerals kind of
dry
on their skin.
And then they go into the Dead Sea, and then they just wash that thing off. Oh, but we need to talk about...
Oh, we'll get to that. We'll get to that in just a second.
We don't think about...
So we get to this place, and it's a beach in the sense that you can walk from land into the sea. But it's not a beach in the sense where it's like nice white powder sand and stuff like that. Remember, this is the bottom of a sea that we're standing on, which is why we're so low.
The sand was really powdery and soft.
Well, once you're in the water, but before you get to the water...
Oh, it was very...
very coarse and very rocky.
Was it the shells? What was that?
It's like dry salt.
That's it. That must be it, yeah.
So you're walking, and don't forget to bring some footwear to be able to walk
flip-flops.
Around. Flip-flops are a must, especially if you're walking on these rocks a bit, because they're pretty sharp.
Mm-hmm.
So you walk on the rocks, and you get to the edge of the Dead Sea, and you look at it, and the water is crystal clear. I mean, it is
so clear.
Brilliant blue, gorgeous-looking water. Ooh,
no fish, nothing. Of course, nothing can survive.
It's the Dead Sea. Nothing
Dead Sea.
Can survive there. The alkalinity, or the salinity, if you will, is like 34%. It's ridiculously salty.
Very salty. So don't drink that water.
Do not drink the water. So you look at it and it looks gorgeous. You're like, man, it's hot. I want to jump in. I want to just frolic around.
Caution. Caution, caution.
Caution, caution indeed. What happens if you frolic around?
So our oldest, after about how many minutes in the
water? Oh, man, like 15
water,
minutes
15
or something?
15 minutes. He just came out screaming, oh, my butt, it's on fire. He had to run to the changing room. Apparently, the water, the salt water, it really stings you in places, the private corrosive areas.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. And even our youngest.
Boy.
No, the
oh, the little girl. Yeah,
our girl. Also for ladies, your private, yes, it hurts. So
well, here's a good rule of thumb. They don't recommend, and there's lifeguards around, and they'll tell you, don't run into the water. Don't jump in the water. Don't splash around in the
clinch.
Water. Just sit down and float. Well, try explaining that to kids who don't understand what's going on. It didn't quite work. The two boys just took off. They're jumping. And then 15 minutes later, holy cow, it hurts.
And then our middle one says, my balls.
And he had to run out. He had to open up his pants and run it out of the shower.
They have great showers, by the way. You just pull this.
Oh, my Lord.
This thing.
Very refreshing. Yeah, a little
lever thingy.
Little handle, yeah, and opens up the water.
Tons of water. And then I remember it wasn't super cold, so was nice.
Not cold at all.
Yeah.
Bring shampoo, too, because that's another thing that you might want to shampoo some of that salt off with.
And, right. And the water felt like what?
Yeah, that's the other thing, too. The boys really didn't have time to kind of get a good feel for it because they got stung by it. But we went into the water, and we were told by friends of ours that it felt kind of a little slimy, a little oily, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so
she said she didn't like it.
Yeah, I mean, you sit in it and you definitely kind of feel like the sheen inside the water. It felt kind of...
But it's, in a way, it's nourishing, you know? For ladies, it's got minerals. And then I clinched the whole time. I was fine.
That's the thing. Here's the best rule of thumb. Yeah, if you don't want to feel the heat, especially on them privates, you know, just give yourself a little squeeze. Do little Kegels while you're in the water there. Keep yourself closed.
But the constant one.
But you got to do it all the time. However, effortless. Oh, my Lord. To float.
Ooh, you just float. Effortless.
You sit down. It's like sitting in a chair, and you're up.
And you somehow have to, can read books, right? Read a book.
I sat there with my hands behind my head, just floating around. It was effortless. And to stand up, you have to really, especially if you float away from the shoreline, you really have to put effort into keeping your feet down because poof, they want to come right back up.
That's how strong the salt content.
Yeah.
Makes you just float, right?
So,
and you can float on your belly easily too. Like
you can float
our youngest
everywhere on it. So bizarre! You're sitting in this beautiful clear water, and you don't have to do anything.
And then another thing, it was beautiful. And then you get to see right across.
Yes, what's right across is Jordan right there.
Yes.
So the Dead Sea kind of it splits. Well, it doesn't split. It's right on the border of Israel and Jordan and the West Bank. Mm-hmm. So it is. It's really quite spectacular to see. It's eroding kind of fast, and they're trying to do things to keep it from eroding. But it's huge. It's the lowest point on Earth, and there are a bunch of lower points around. There's the lowest bars, the lowest ATM, lowest shopping center, all these crazy lowest stuff that you can go and experience. It's really quite spectacular, and there are beaches all up and down the Dead Sea. Some of which do like the mineral things, mineral baths a little bit more. Others are a little bit more for tourists, and others do other things as well. Ayn Bokeh is great because there's resorts there, there's hotels there, there's, you know, shopping, there's great restaurants, all sorts of stuff there, and it's real convenient from Masada as well. It's like I said, about an hour and 15 minutes out of Masada, real easy to get to, and there's all sorts of great products there too that you can get.
And then also for ladies, for those of you who are interested in trying Israeli cosmetics line or the skincare line, there's Ava. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. It's spelled AHAVA.
Mm-hmm. Ava.
And it's, you know, this includes the active Dead Sea minerals. And so I've tried the whole skincare.
Right.
And they have some like packaged gift baskets, and it's a good place to go. And then if you can find it was a little bit hard to find that particular. Is that the main store, was it?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we had to go down to one of the shopping centers so you could find some of that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's a great... It was interesting because I'm always interested in the local, you know, locally made products.
Yep.
I tried that skincare, and then Some people says it doesn't work. Some people, just like any other cosmetic lines. And then, so I found the soap and then especially the hand lotion.
Oh, yeah,
you,
yeah.
I Googled on the Amazon, but not all product lines are available.
Right.
So if you are interested in this this line, you might want to go and check it out.
Check it out, yeah.
Yeah, and you can buy, you know, some gift baskets and then...
Ahava is the name of the product, and it's all Dead Sea minerals and, mm-hmm. and just all sort of natural stuff for you. And speaking of Dead Sea minerals, we, of all places, we're sitting in Ain Bocak on the beach there, and we just, you know, we're frolicking in the Dead Sea. Next to us is a couple from Canada, and they were there on holiday. They were cruising around, and they had a bunch of Dead Sea mud with them, and they said, hey, we got way too much. You guys want to try some?
Right.
So we ended up slathering ourselves in some Dead Sea mud. Just, you know, again, we're...
Yeah, experiencing.
When out there, yeah, you gotta do those things.
You gotta do it.
So what did you think? I mean, when you put the mud on, did it feel different? Was your skin better? What was your impression of it?
I felt like it made my skin softer.
I tell you, you were glowing as soon as you came out of that water.
See, but you could tell.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so it was interesting, and yeah. I love trying different things, and it wasn't an experience.
Yeah, yeah. Right? And out of all places, there's a couple right next to us that says, hey, would you like some mud?
Your face. And...
Like, your English is really quite... Yeah, we're from Canada, so... Oh, okay. So yeah, I put it all over my face, got it on my arms and legs. You put it on your belly.
It on my
and
belly, then... my arms and wherever.
And then we sat there and we let it dry on our skin and then walked into the Dead Sea again and just kind of rinsed it off. And I got to tell you, from my experience, I don't know if it was the Dead Sea water specifically, but all of a sudden my skin did feel like softer.
I really did.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting.
And then I also bought Dead Sea soaps, body soap.
Oh, yeah.
And like I said, the hand lotion.
Yep.
Those were great.
Fantastic.
I really liked them. And then you can buy... hand lotion, body lotion, I think on Amazon as well.
Yes, correct, yeah. Correct. And look for the stuff that's Dead Sea minerals. That's the stuff that we've been using it.
But like I said, there are so many skincare lines, and then certain things were only available.
Yeah,
you know, when we were there.
Exactly.
That right. I found. So yeah, anyway.
For a day trip out of Tel Aviv, really, really easy and accessible to get to Masada. It's about a 2.5-hour drive. You can spend a couple hours there, walking all over the Masada itself. If you're, you know, if you can get there at sunrise, even better. You can spend the morning there, get a good lunch, and then head to the Dead Sea, do some gambling, do some swimming, you know, have some dinner and stuff like that. And then head on back into Tel Aviv. It's a really convenient way to kind of see that part of Israel.
Right.
So
good place to don't stop for lunch or dinner, either on the way in or way out. On the way in, I think we did McDonald's.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
It's a McDonald's.
Yeah,
convenient.
Very convenient. And we had to stop and get gas anyway, so it was kind of right there. Oh, gas. That's another interesting thing. There are certain gas stations in Israel. All the pumps are in Hebrew.
Yeah. Oh, it's so hard to figure out. And there are no, like, helper.
Yeah, there's not too many attendants that are out there that will help you. However, there are a bunch of full-service gas stations that you can pull up to. Mm-hmm. And you just tell them full tank, and they know what to do. Tell them whether you want the premium or the regular. They know what to do. You hand them your credit card. On occasion, we had to pump our own. And so I'd have to go into the shop and tell them, hey, I want a full tank.
They like a pre-charge.
Right, yeah. They'll pre-charge you like $100.
150 or something.
Something like
that.
And then if you don't use that, then they credit it back to you. So don't be surprised when you take a look at the receipts. Whoa, there's a huge charge here. We didn't know. You'll see that there's a refund at the end of it as well.
Right.
And if you can, I would recommend finding the full service stations. Much, much easier than trying to figure out...
But it's all in Hebrew. You can't
how to pump
tell,
gas.
Right? Same thing in Japan too. But anyway.
Yep.
Yeah.
In other parts of the world, the gas pumps were not in English, so that's one thing to keep in mind. But if you are, like I said, having the opportunity to find a full service station, very easy, very convenient. They all take credit cards, so it's really convenient to be able to purchase. You don't have to have a whole lot of cash with you at all times.
And yeah, the credit cards widely accepted. And I also found getting cash out of ATM.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. We did have a couple of issues with the machines, some of the machines, Remember, we decided to take a day trip to Petra, which we will cover this in that particular episode, but we needed a huge amount of cash.
Oh, and yeah, there was challenges with respect to getting cash out. So yeah,
right.
Some ATMs are
maybe in Tel Aviv it wasn't an issue, but outside of that, yeah.
Yeah, once you're out of the big city, some of the ATMs could be a little restrictive with respect to how much cash you're allowed to take out.
Right.
Again, it could be a regional thing as well, but we did experience that. So most of the time wasn't an issue because most places do take credit card. But, you know, if you are off the beaten path, good to have a little bit of cash with you. So make sure you plan for that in advance. You know, go to the big cities, go to Jerusalem, go to Tel Aviv, go up to Haifa if you're going to be in that area, and make sure you can stop at a bank there and get what you need. But beyond that, again, driving around, Google Maps, I highly recommend that.
That's a must have. If we didn't have it, we wouldn't have been able to.
Yes. And
go. But it's very easy to follow.
Really easy to follow.
Highly, and they're accurate.
Highly, highly, highly recommend. If you like listening to music while you're driving, bring cables and connect your devices, because the radio stations in Israel, let's just say they have their own taste in styles and music, and it's you know, it's not a lot of pop stuff that you may want to listen to.
Yeah, so bring your own devices. You're driving everywhere,
and if you're in the car for a couple hours, you might want to have your tunes. It makes things go by a little bit faster. So bring your own cables. You know, connect them to the cars. All the cars have USB cables now that you can, or have USB ports, I should say, that you can plug into. And you know, apart from that, driving around, super, super easy. We were able to get where we needed to be. Never really got lost. We had GPS with us at all times.
Well, you got a good sense of directions.
Yes.
So
here's a little
tip. In general, you usually don't get lost.
Yeah, and that's helpful. I mean, you kind of get a lay of the land if you look at the maps and stuff like that beforehand. However, little tip as well that we learned the hard way. If your cellular carrier is locking your phone for any particular period of time.
Oh, the SIM card. Yes, we had an issue. It didn't work.
You can exchange SIM cards at the airport when you get in, which is probably recommended to do if your phone is unlocked.
And we couldn't do that. Yeah, yeah.
If your phone is locked, they have these like portable Wi-Fi or portable MiFi kind of
which would have been so useful.
Services, So it's like purchasing a little cellular hotspot, if you will. And then you can connect to that and use that for Google Maps and other things like that too. Right. So find a way to get you some cellular service there so that you can communicate. You can also use Google Maps. WhatsApp works great out there. It's a great way to be able to communicate around and be able to call people who can, you know, if you need to be able to get in touch with folks.
That's a really good point, because we did have a hiccup at the very beginning of the trip. We couldn't get the SIM card. I mean, we couldn't rent it because it just didn't work with all of our phones.
Right.
All four of them.
And if you...
iPhones.
You can do prepaid cellular as well, which includes data services. But that's a whole brand new number, and it's you know, you got to transfer all your contacts over and stuff like that. Pain in the butt. Maybe it's a little bit easier to get these little MiFi things, these little cellular hotspots. Much easier to connect. You can use your phone, use your contacts, use things like WhatsApp, or you can use things like FaceTime to be able to communicate with other people as well. Still use your maps. Still have all your music and all the other things that you like on your devices. So there it is, a quick day trip out of Tel Aviv, Israel, over to the eastern side of Israel, to the Dead Sea, to Masada. Highly, highly, highly recommended.
That was a good trip.
If you're going to have a day to be able to bop around, this is a must see.
Yes, and it's doable in a day.
Completely
doable. To hit those two spots. And there are a lot of tourists, the packages.
Yep.
That are available, that if you prefer not to drive.
Yeah, if you...
And then those two are usually packaged together.
Exactly, yeah. Dead Sea and Masada, because they're pretty close by. And if you don't want to be restricted to time, you don't want to be on a schedule, you want a little bit more freedom, it's so easy to rent a car, so easy to get over there. It's not even a full tank of gas. You get over there, do what you need to do. Parking is relatively inexpensive. Pack food if you're going to be there for any length of time. Make sure you get a lot of water. And especially around the Dead Sea, be ready to be heated up.
Right.
And don't splash around in the Dead Sea at all. But apart from that, it's a great day trip. You can do it via a guided tour. You can do it via your own guided tours. Again, all the information that we had, where we went, how we got there, we'll post it to you online. We'll write a blog about it and share that with you. So if you want to, you know, plot based on our adventures, you're more than welcome to do that as well.
Right.
So very cool. So next time, in the next episode, we're going to be talking about Eilat. We've been teasing it.
The southernmost.
Oh, we've been
end of Israel.
We've been talking a lot about it. Yeah, Israel, like I said before, it's probably longer up and down than it is wide. So the north-south
triangle, like upside down triangle.
So the north-south routes are a little bit longer. Driving from Tel Aviv to Eilat was about 5.5 hours.
Yes, about that.
So
it's...
be prepared for that. There's some driving time there. You can take a plane. You can also think there's buses and stuff like that. It'll take you down there as well. But we'll get into it when we talk about it. We rented a car, so we wanted to drive. We wanted to experience it. And no challenges, no problems with that at all. Highly recommend that.
It was a beautiful trip.
So stay tuned.
Tune in for
the next one. We will definitely get into it. We'll talk a lot about the Red Sea. We'll talk about being able to go into Jordan. We'll talk about some of the hotels and the experience we had at our particular hotel down there.
The ocean.
Fantastic. Incredible.
Amazing Red Sea.
So stay tuned. Tune in. With that, thank you so much for joining us on this episode. We look forward to talking to you more about Israel in the upcoming episodes. Stay tuned. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much for listening.